So you've all heard the gospel this morning after the lesson and the responsive reading. The gospel where Jesus touches the two blind guys who call out to him. You know, they see him. We were talking about seeing God and hearing him. So, well, they don't see him because they're blind, but they hear him. They hear him speaking. They hear the crowd go by. They ask, "Who is it?" And they say, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus does. Now, what I think is amazing about this whole exchange between Jesus and the blind guys is that Jesus took the time to stop. He stopped his conversation, he stopped his walk, and he called the two to him. You know, he could have just waved a hand as he kept on going. Or he could have stopped and said, "Hey, you over there," and blessed them or something like that, right? Could have just done it magically from a distance. But no, he invited them to come close to him, and he touched them. Can you imagine? I mean, we get excited when we get to be in the same room with the celebrity. We get excited if that celebrity shakes our hand, or if we've gotten a letter from some celebrity or an autographed photo of us with them. Here, this celebrity is not just a celebrity, but he is the Son of God. And he goes over, they come to him, they talk, and probably they had a conversation, more than likely. I mean, it wasn't just like, "Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, it's all done." My imagination, it tells me that they visited for a little bit, and then Jesus healed them, or he healed them and then visited. It wasn't just in and out type of thing. And he touched them. If we go back to the Old Testament passage, a lesson that you heard proclaimed for you about Moses wanting to be able to see God. You know, here, he's kind of like the two blind guys. God, you know. And he's been having a relationship with God. This is late enough in Moses' life. It's near the end of his life. And he has already met God in the burning bush. He sees the burning bush. He hears the holy voice. As he goes back to Egypt, to Cairo, to the Pharaoh, he keeps hearing God's voice. But he never sees God. He sees the signs. He sees the frogs and the locusts and the black and the boils and the killing of the firstborn and the river of blood and the frogs. I knew I was missing one of them. And then there's the firestorm and the earthquake, or the comets. He sees these signs, he hears God's voice, but he doesn't see God. And he's touched by these things around him, but he's not touched by God. They follow the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire out into the desert, and they're led to Mount Sinai. And he is up on the top of Mount Sinai in the cloud, and the people down on the lower ground below the mountain see the lightning and see the thunder, but they don't see God, and Moses in that cloud doesn't see God. He hears the voice. He writes down the Ten Commandments. He comes down. They have the manna. They have the water springing from the rock, but he doesn't see God, and now he's an old man, he's feeble, and he says, "God, I have one last wish." I mean, it's like his dying wish. And he says, "May I see you? May I see your face?" Now, like we heard in the psalm, God is holy. Holiness doesn't come down to earth. It's not so mundane, it's not so profane, it needs to stay away. And so God says, "You can't see my face. No one can see the face of God and live." And that has been that gets repeated throughout the scriptures. And it was certainly a part of the history of the experience of God up to that moment. The closest they've ever gotten were the angels who were having tea with Abraham in the afternoon. You know, they took shade from the hot afternoon sun and had tea with Abraham. But that wasn't God God's self, or the angels, or God in a human form. And Jacob wrestles with God in the dark, but he can't see him. So Moses is saying, look, all these people before me, but none of us have seen you. And God, you and I have been so intimate, and I've heard you, and I've spent time with you. Would you please let me see your face? God says, you can't. You would perish. And, you know, that holiness cannot be looked upon by just any mere mortal. And even somebody as holy as Moses couldn't look upon the face of God. Do you remember the image in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark? I'm saying that wrong. You know what I'm talking about. The Ark of the Covenant. Remember, that is the ark that the Israelites had carried around and had in their temple in Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem, the temple, was destroyed in 70 AD, it disappeared. And according to the movie, Indiana Jones found it, along with the Nazis. And the Nazis absconded it from Indiana, and they opened it. And out of it came this big whooshing sound and this kind of ghostly-like type thing, an apparition or whatever. It was supposed to represent the glory of God, because the glory of God was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And those faces of the Nazis melted. I saw that movie when I was probably about 7, and I actually had nightmares about this. Not understanding that it was God, just watching these melting faces. And afterward, I came to understand that that was because they looked upon the face of God, and they did not live. God says to Moses, look, we are close. Here's what I'll do for you, buddy. That's always feels like it's a deal. I'm going to hide you in this rock, this cleft of a rock. And I was there, one of the places purportedly where he was hidden. I was there. I will put my hand over your face. So you're hiding in this cleft of the rock. I will put my hand over your face. I will walk by, and then I will remove my hand, and you will see my backside. It's funny. You can't see God's face, but you can see his back, right? I had a professor in college who said, do you suppose God mooned Moses? And we're like, what? Well, he saw his backside. Interesting. So Moses gets to see God's backside. But now in the fullness of time, God saw it. It was necessary for humanity to see God, to hear him, see him, and be touched by him. So in the fullness of time, he chose to send his only son, who was with the Father. The Father and I are one. The Father and I are the same. Well, we're not the same being, but we are one and the same. And Jesus comes to earth. God walks on earth. God walks with you and me. God eats and sleeps and wonders and dreams and is frightened and all these very human things, because in the fullness of time, God realized that's what we needed. We needed to see God face to face. We needed to be able to hear God and watch his lips move. We needed to be able to be touched by God. And so Jesus did all of that. He touched people and he let people touch him. God was touched. And God touched people. It's important. It's important to touch. It's important to see. And today, it's still just as important. Yes, it would be wonderful if God walked amongst us. God doesn't, in the same way as Jesus walked among people 2,000 years ago. We don't see God's backside. What we do see is God's face in one another. What we do feel is the touch of compassion when somebody else touches us. What we also have are those embraces. We have those, and in these days with the COVID and the coronavirus, I mean, if you are able to have somebody in your bubble that is able to touch you and hug you, it's so important. Now, you're all sitting there, you're not able to touch one another. But if you're sitting right next to someone whom you love, reach out and grab their hand and squeeze it. Let them squeeze your hand. You know how assuring that feels? I can picture your faces. Diane and Jerry actually usually hold hands. None of you can see it. And once in a while, they'll squeeze each other's hand, and you can see a little smile, or I can, because I'm looking at them, right? Some of the rest of you, too. Same type of thing. It's so special and so neat. Now, I want you to know in your very being that God is the same closeness. Carve out some time in your daily life, morning, afternoon, right before you go to bed, and make it intentional. And in that intentional time, get connected intimately with your God. Allow God to be there with you. If you can close your eyes and see God, or some people like having a picture of Jesus when they pray, because then they can picture it. It's like they're talking right to him, and he's talking right to them. Be intentional about it. Ask that through the Holy Spirit, your helper, that God's love comes to you and you can see it and you can feel it. And your heart, your soul, your very being can be touched by God. That's the joy of our relationship that we have with God. God is not some far off God, some distant God. God is still with us. And that's so important. Having that knowledge gets you through every day. The high points, the low points, and every point in between. Having those moments where you are so connected to God to fall back on, to look forward to, gets me through my day. Jesus touches us when we cannot see and helps us to see. See his presence, see his grace, see his beauty. See his children, our brothers and sisters, in every walk of life around us. God touches our ears and helps us to hear so that we can hear him still speaking to us today. I love that bumper sticker, the sign you've seen, placards. God is still speaking today. God touches our hearts and says, I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us. We're moving towards the end of our church year. We have been walking all the way along, learning about Jesus' teachings, and the last number of weeks we've heard about what it's going to be like when the world ends, whether it's in heaven or God here. And in the next 3-4 weeks, we're going to hear a lot about how the world will be ending. But through all of that world-ending stuff, and through our life-ending stuff, we can know that God is with us. He touches our hearts so that we can be that close to him. My prayer for all of you, my prayer for my family, my prayer for my friends, my prayer for this world, is that we can take that time to get closer to God, so close that we can see and hear him, have him touch us. Let's pray for that. Dear and loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you are manifested in our lives. Help us, each of us, all of us, to realize this. Realize how close you are to us. So that we can grow in our relationship with you, so we can grow in our relationship with others, and in our relationship with ourselves, so that we can be holier. Father, grace us. Help us to hear your voice, see your face, and feel your holy and loving touch. We ask this in the name of the one who is you and who came to earth to show us the way. He who is Jesus, he's the one who leads us to you and with the Holy Spirit, so that we may be able to praise you, one God, forever and ever. Amen.